And let's open up to Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18, page 687. Page 687 in the Black Pew Bible there. Find it in your copy of God's Word. Scroll on your device. And what we want to think about today is proclaiming that story, proclaiming that song that God is good all the time. We do that here in worship. But in this series in Proverbs, we're thinking about doing that Monday through Saturday as well in all of our lives. That by not just our lips or the songs that we sing, but by the way we live, we're showing that God is good. By the way we live, we're giving glory to God. By the way we live, we're pointing to what He's done in our lives. So what we saw last week, was that Proverbs is about worship. Proverbs is about worship. Now, this isn't going to be on the screen. This is just going to be for free for just a second. Proverbs is about worship. It's about choosing to follow God's wisdom, and the alternative is choosing to follow the folly of the world. Right? Those are the only two choices. We saw that in Proverbs 9. Either we worship at the high places of God and His wisdom, or we worship at the high places of the world, and we follow the world in the way of folly that leads to death. This really is about worship. It's about worship. Here's something else you can add to that. It's about witness. Proverbs is about worship, and Proverbs is about witness. Proverbs is about living your life with a consistent Christian ethic. A consistent Christian ethic, so that you're living your life consistently showing that Jesus really is Lord. And if He's Lord, that means He's Lord of all. He can't just be Lord of some things and not of other things. He's Lord of everything, which means every detail in your life. So Proverbs is going to tell us about our words, and Proverbs is going to tell us about our money, and Proverbs is going to tell us about our marriage, and it's going to tell us about friendships, and it's going to tell us about integrity, and it's going to tell us about work, and on we can go. And in all of these things, we're to live consistently Christian, biblical, God-honoring, Christ-fearing lives. And when we talk about witness, the question really is, why should people listen to us speak about the difference that Jesus made in our lives if they can't see the difference that Jesus made in our lives? Why should your coworker listen to you talk about the difference Jesus made in your life when you're lazy at work and therefore you're stealing money from your boss? Why should your classmate listen to you talk about the difference Jesus made in your life when you're using the same crude and vulgar jokes and language that they are? Why should your friends listen to you talk about the difference Jesus made in your life when you're living by the same sexual ethic that they are? You see, every area of our life matters in terms of our witness, and Proverbs is showing us that, our witness. And today we're going to talk specifically about words. We're going to talk about words and the wisdom of words, our mouth, the tongue, the things that come out of our mouth, the wisdom of words that we see in the book of Proverbs. If you are a parent, now you may remember the first words that your kids spoke. Maybe you remember those. I don't remember the first words that any of my kids spoke, but maybe you do. And maybe you remember those sweet words hearing, you know, the baby's born, and we've got several right now of sleepless parents in our church, but the baby's born, and all these little milestones along the way, you know, they can finally hold their head up, and it's not just kind of flopping around. They can finally roll over, and they see this little ball on the other side of the room, and they just kind of roll and roll and roll till they get there, and you're so excited. And then, you know, they can sit up, and you're so excited, and then they stand up, and they start to walk, and you're excited until you realize how far they can go. And, you know, you celebrate these milestones, and the whole time along the way, you're saying things like, say mama, you know, say dada, say bye-bye, you know, bye-bye. You're saying all these things over and looking like a fool, and then one day the little kid says, dada. And you just go nuts. This kid, you know, finally speaks. This kid can speak, and they're talking to you, and, you know, it's just so sweet. You hear these words come out of the mouth, and you think, God's goodness and God's graciousness and the sweet things that are coming out of your sweet kid's mouth until they have siblings. And then you hear in the other room, you know, the argument about who's going to get the Nintendo controller and who's going to get to play what game or what show they're going to watch on TV. And the words get a little bit harsher and the tone gets a little bit harsher. And you're wondering what happened to the words that were coming out of your sweet baby's mouth. You know, we train our kids to say mama and dada and bye-bye, but we don't really have to train them to speak harshly, right? It seems to come naturally. And it really seems to come naturally and easily for many of us. But God says in God's word in the book of James that these things ought not to be so. We shouldn't be those who praise God and then with the same lips curse others who are made in the likeness of God. It's James chapter 3. And yet we do that. We do that. Proverbs also says things shouldn't be like that. We should speak differently. We should talk differently. Our words matter to our Lord. He's the Lord of life, and He's the Lord of our words even. So we teach our kids to say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never, what? Hurt me. That's a lie. Words can hurt. And words do hurt. Words can hurt, and words can heal. Words can be used to tear down, and words can be used to build up. Words can have the power of death, and words can have the power of life. And that's what we see in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And so if you're able, would you stand with me? We're going to read just this one verse. We're going to go to a lot of different places in Proverbs, and so you can have your pen ready if you'd like to write those down. But for now, one verse, Proverbs 18, verse 21. This is God's word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So, Father, now what we pray, Proverbs 16:20, you tell us there, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. So help us now to give thought to your word. Help us to discover good. God, help us to trust in you in this area of our life. And then, Lord, we trust that you would bless us as we submit this area of our lives to your lordship. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Proverbs 18:21. So today in the book of Proverbs, from the book of Proverbs, again, we're going to cover a lot of passages. We're going to put several of them up on the screen. If you're new, we normally go through books of the Bible here, and we just kind of go maybe paragraph by paragraph, section by section. Proverbs is a little bit different. It lends itself towards topical study. So we're going to do, today's the first of seven topical studies we'll do from the book of Proverbs, and today's on words. So we're going to survey the book of Proverbs tomorrow morning in the pastor's blog on the weekly email. There'll be a list of just the Proverbs that deal with the tongue or the Proverbs that deal with words. I want to encourage you to read over those. We're going to survey several of them today. And what we're going to see today is that your words have the power of life and death, so choose wisely. Your words have the power. That's what Proverbs 18:21 tells us. Your words have the power of life and death, so choose wisely. Now, that's an immense privilege and an immense responsibility, thinking about having the power of life and death, to speak life or to speak death, to speak words that lead to righteousness and lead to God and lead to life, words that build up and words that strengthen and words that encourage, or to speak words, on the other hand, that lead away from God and lead to sin and lead to death, words that tear down and words that are worse than knocking someone out at the knees, and words that suck life out of someone instead of breathe life into that person. That's the power that you have with your words. And whichever you choose to give life or to give death by your words, whichever you choose, Proverbs is going to tell you that you will reap what you sow. So in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs says elsewhere that whoever digs a pit will fall into it. And a stone will come back on he who starts it rolling. So you start that stone rolling of harsh words against someone else, don't be surprised when that stone comes and rolls back on you. If you dig a pit by your words, don't be surprised when you fall into that pit. At the same time, when you speak life, Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What it's saying is those who love the power of language, those who know the power of language, and those who use it wisely will reap the benefits of it. They will reap the benefits of it. They'll enjoy its reward. So today we want to think about words, and we're going to think about it in two groupings. Words have the power to deceive and destroy and divide, and words have the power to proclaim and promote and provide. Words have the power to deceive and destroy and divide, and words have the power to proclaim and promote and provide. So let's start with a negative. Your words have the power to deceive and destroy and divide. You know this from experience. You've been on the receiving end of this. That's why we teach our kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt us. We're trying to tell them, listen, it's okay. It's okay. We've received hard words. You've been on the receiving end. But you've probably been on the giving end. You've given these words to others, words that deceive and words that destroy and words that divide. You've been on the giving end, probably. I think I can probably say that pretty confidently that all of us have. Not just to our enemies, but to our friends, to our family. Maybe to some who are in this room, you've been on the giving end to others who are in this room. We've all used words to deceive and destroy and divide. Words can be used to deceive. Proverbs 12:17, we'll put it up for you. Proverbs 12:17, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. Lies and deceit. So outright, blatant untruths or falsehoods, using cunning or treacherous words to purposefully conceal the truth and misrepresent what is right and true and honest. And Proverbs says that these things are the marks of false witnesses. False witnesses. Now when you hear that, you maybe think of the courtroom, false witness. And I would say don't think of a courtroom, but instead think of the commandments. Our kids at MC Kids right now are the last couple weeks have been learning the Ten Commandments, and maybe some of them could tell you what the ninth commandment is. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not bear false witness. False witness. Don't be those who speak lies or use deceit against your neighbor. And who's your neighbor? That's all of us. Don't be those who speak lies or practice deceitfulness. We need to apply these words to not be those who use deceit or cunning or lies. We need to apply these words at home and in the workplace. And so children, teenagers, college students, this applies to the way you speak to your parents and the way you speak to your siblings. Families, this applies to the way we speak with one another. Adults, this applies to the way you speak with your boss. This applies, students, to the way you speak to your teachers. This applies to all of us, the way we speak to God. Lies and deceit should have no place among us. We'll talk about social media in a minute, but this applies there too. With our friends, with our neighbors, with our fellow church members, listen to Proverbs 26:18-19. Proverbs 26:18-19, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Like a madman who throws death. Is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. How many times have you said things and you tried to take it back with, hey, I was just joking. I was just joking. Proverbs says you're like a madman who's throwing death. I was just joking. And that's the thing about words. You know, there's a lot of things you can take back. You can take back a shirt that doesn't fit right. You can take back a device that won't power on right. You can take back tools that are broken when you get them out of the box, but you can't take back your words. Once they're out of your mouth, there's no taking back. Some of us need to be really careful with our joking. And I'm chief among those. I need to be careful with my joking. We need to be careful with our joking. We've got to watch our words. Words can be used to deceive. Words can be used to destroy. There's really too many to go through here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, I'll just give a few. Proverbs tells us that words can be used to destroy our neighbors. That's Proverbs 11:9. Words can be used to destroy an entire city. That's Proverbs 11:11. Cultures can be destroyed by words, as we are painfully and slowly witnessing right now in our culture. Can be destroyed by words. Proverbs says that those who belittle their neighbors are those who are using rash words like sword thrusts. Using your words like a sword to drive into someone. But let me give two primary examples that I believe are supremely important for us right now in the year 2023. I want to think about our words online and words of corruption. Words online. So the proverb that we should put as a, if we could go back in time, maybe 5, 10, 15 years, and say, this is the proverb to live by for the next 15 or so years, the proverb for the social media age. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. There's too much of that in social media. Let me just tell you what I think. Without taking any time to understand an issue. And Proverbs says, if you're just expressing your opinion without trying to understand the issue, you're a fool. You're like a madman who's throwing death if you're living in that way. And words, even written words, even words posted online, words have consequences. And words can bring harm, and words can bring destruction. And we say, well, I was just expressing my opinion. And maybe you were. And maybe you were unknowingly following Proverbs 18, verse 2. And maybe you were being like the fool. Instead of that, here's a test. Just write down Philippians 4, 8. That's the test for you. Everything that you're going to post online, Philippians 4, 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pure, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things and post these things. Let that be your guide for your words online. What about words of corruption? Words of corruption. Proverbs 15:4 tells us that a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness in our words break the spirit. Perverseness is talking about twisted or crooked words, words that are deviating off the path of life that God has made known to us. Crooked speech, perverseness. In Proverbs 11, we read that perverseness is the quality of the treacherous. Perverseness. So the question here is, the things that you're saying at work, or the things that you're saying at home, or the things that you're writing online, or the things that you say on the golf course, or the things that you say when you're at the restaurant with your friends, the things that you say on FaceTime, or the things that you say in the school hallways, or the things that you say on the job site or the office, are your words tearing down others, or are they building up others? Are they tearing down others, or are they building up others? Ephesians 4:29 says it like this: let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. So are your words giving grace and building up? Even when someone's not present, when you're talking about someone behind their back, are you building them up? Or could they be characterized as corrupting talk and treacherous and perverse words that tear down? Are you building up, or are you tearing down? What was the proverb your mom told you? If you can't say nothing nice, don't say anything at all, right? There's a lot of truth in that. If you are going to speak, let it be words that build up instead of tear down. Words can be used to destroy. Words can be used to deceive. Words can be used to destroy. Words can be used to divide. Divide. And Proverbs has a lot to say about gossip and slander. Gossip and slander. Listen to Proverbs 26, 20 through 22. This won't be on the screen. Proverbs 26, 20 through 22. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Quarrels, fights, strife are caused by what it calls whispering. Saying things that you don't want everybody else to hear because you're talking about this person who's just standing right over there. Whisper, gossip. Slander. Proverbs tells us the truth. Gossip tastes good. That's why we receive it. It's like delicious morsels going down inside. We love to hear some good, juicy gossip. Proverbs is honest. It tastes good, but it kills community. It kills community. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Gossip and slander kill community. So I want you to hear this very clearly. I praise God regularly for what's going on at Mountain Creek Baptist Church. I love what's going on at Mountain Creek Baptist Church. Let me tell you the greatest threat to Mountain Creek Baptist Church. The greatest threat to Mountain Creek Baptist Church is not some overt moral failure, though that is a threat. And the greatest threat to Mountain Creek Baptist Church is not doctrinal heresy, though that is a threat if we're not careful. The greatest threat against Mountain Creek Baptist Church is gossip and slander. The thing that would be most likely to bring down a church, I'm just telling you, is gossip and slander. Gossip and slander. The enemy wants to use that to break up God's people and divide God's people. And we can't allow that. And when I say the enemy, I mean the devil, I mean the world, and I mean our own flesh, your flesh, my flesh. And we can't allow that. It wants to divide God's people right here. It wants to separate close friends. Gossip kills community. So don't do it. Don't do it. If you hear it, let it stop with you. If you're able to tell that person, listen, we don't need to say these things, then tell that person. But at the very least, you don't pass it on. We got to kill gossip and kill slander and not speak it, not receive it. And it's serious. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. Again, not on the screen, but you can jot that reference down. Often in Proverbs, you're going to read things like, there are six things that and seven that. And when it's given you this number, or there are three things that, no, four things that, the last thing is the point of emphasis, right? It's a tool that the Proverbs is using to say, all these things are true, but I want you to pay close attention to the last one, okay? Proverbs 16 and 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. God hates it. God hates it. A false witness who breathes out lies and one who sows discords among brothers. I'm just going to read Proverbs, and so you take it up with the Lord if you don't like it. But here's what it says. I'll just read it straight. The Lord hates one who sows discords among brothers. That's what Proverbs 6 says. We need to take that seriously. We need to see that God hates false, deceptive, destructive, and divisive speech. God hates it, and God will judge it. Three times in the book of Proverbs, we read that lying tongues will not go unpunished. Three times. It reminds me of Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, as for the faithless, as for the detestable, as for murderers and the sexually immoral and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. God will judge false speech. You see, death is in the power of the tongue, the death of the community, or the death of the fool who speaks it. The power of the tongue. Speech can bring about God's judgment, and speech can also bring about God's joy. And you need to see that as well. Speech can bring about God's joy. Proverbs 23, 15 to 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult. God will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. So like a father who hears his children's first word, God rejoices when you speak what is right. So what is right? What's right speech, right words? Well, it's words that proclaim and protect and provide. Words that proclaim and protect and provide. So Proverbs 31, the faithful wife, she's a model for all the ladies in this room, and she's a model for all the men in this room. The faithful wife, she opens her mouth, Proverbs 31. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Teaching. She proclaims truth. She proclaims truth with kindness. So church, you need to know, despite what CNN wants you to think and despite what Fox News wants you to think, you need to know that to speak truth, you don't have to say it harshly. You can say it kindly. You can say it with kindness and graciousness and with compassion. We watch the news and the loud guy often wins. He might be wrong, but he often wins. And we think that truth has to be said harshly or loudly or forcefully. Not so the faithful wife. She utters it with kindness. She teaches with kindness. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 25:15, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Sometimes what's needed is not a loud word, but a soft truth. Soft truth. Wise words proclaim, and they proclaim truth. They proclaim truth. Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. A truthful witness saves lives. I was 20 years old. I was a sophomore at the University of Georgia, and I had been through, I've told this story before, I had been through just some different things in my life, and despite growing up in a Baptist church in middle Georgia, I didn't know the Lord. I wasn't walking with the Lord, and I was making stupid decisions because of it. And some things happened that brought me to my knees, and some things happened that made me open my eyes, and I guess kind of like the prodigal son, I got ready to make my list and to go back and say the things, and if I just do all these things right, maybe God will accept me. So I wake up one Sunday morning, and I go to church. And my friend, a student at UGA named Matt Vestal, was there, and I didn't know he was going to be there. And Matt comes over to me and says, "Hey, let's go to lunch." So we drive over and we go to Wilson Soul Food. It's no longer there, which is a shame. We go to Wilson Soul Food in Athens, Georgia, and Matt asked me, "Why'd you come to church today?" And I said to him, I said, "Matt, I feel like I've been in a pit for a long time, but I'm finally climbing out. I'm finally climbing out." And Matt looked at me, and with a chuckle, he said, "You can't climb out of that. Only Jesus can get you out of that." And that set off a chain of events that led me to trusting in Jesus and following Jesus and being here today because of Matt Vessel's words. A truthful witness saves lives. You know, I think about all the things that Matt Vessel could have said to me. He could have said, "Man, I'm so glad you're pulling it together. I'm so glad you're cleaning yourself up. Man, this is great. I'm so glad you're going to stop cussing, stop drinking, stop doing all those things, and you're going to start going to church. I'm so glad you're doing that." You know what I needed? I needed a truthful witness. I needed someone to say, "You can't do that. Jesus can do that." A truthful witness saves lives. So wise words do, they proclaim truth because they point to Jesus. They point to Christ. Even if you're not talking about Jesus, your words point to Jesus if you're using wise words or proclaiming what's right and true and honorable and good. Words proclaim. I wish I had more time to talk about words that protect. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." Words are meant to protect the vulnerable. And before you say, "I'm going woke," I'm not going woke, I'm going Proverbs. Words are meant to protect the vulnerable. We're to speak up for those who are in need and those who are oppressed. Words protect. Words proclaim. Words provide. Good words, wise words, Proverbs 12, 18, bring healing. Proverbs 10, 22, they feed many. Proverbs 16, 24, they bring health to the body. Proverbs 10, 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Read the Proverbs. Read the Proverbs and look for what it says about the tongue and the mouth and words. God intends for you to use your words to proclaim truth and to protect the vulnerable and provide the things that lead to life with your words. Your words can be used to deceive or destroy or divide, or can be used to proclaim and protect and provide. And at the root of all of this is not your tongue, and it's not your lips, it's your heart. It's your heart. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure will bring forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Because your words will show what's going on at the heart level. Your words will reveal who you really worship. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs is telling us that the right way to live is to speak the right kind of words. And our own experience in the Bible and other places tells us that we all know, on our own, we can't do this. You can't. So if you're a guest today, and maybe today's your first time in a long time, maybe your first time ever, you know you're not a Christian, you're trying to figure all these things out, what I want you to hear me say is what I'm not saying, try harder, use all the right words, make sure you're saying the right things. If you just try really hard, then you'll be pleasing to God. I'm saying something better than that. I'm saying you can't do it. I'm saying you can't. You can't put the right words in your tongue without the right words in your heart. And only Jesus can give you a new heart. And so we're talking about words and the things you say, but before you work on the things you say, you need to see your need for a new heart. You see, here's what Jesus says. Jesus tells us that when we trust in Him, God's Word tells us when we trust in Christ, when we repent of our sins and we trust that because Christ died in our place, because He was buried and raised again to life, because Jesus lived a perfect life, because He died on the cross for your sins, and because God raised Him from the dead, your sins can be covered. Your sins can be forgiven. And when you turn from those sins, when you trust in Jesus, He says, I'll put my heart in you. I'll give you a new heart. That's what He does in the gospel. He forgives your sins and He sets you on the way to life. He gives you a new heart. So today, I'm not saying start saying the right things and maybe you'll be saved. I'm saying trust in Jesus. Worship Jesus and He'll give you a new heart. And then you can start saying the right things. Church, to you, I'm saying, do your lips, do your words, do they show what's really going on in your heart? Now, are your words in line with what Jesus has done for you? You know, Jesus has given you a heart so that you can speak this way. So speak this way. This is who you are. So speak this way and let's worship Him with our words. Would you bow? Let me ask our worship team to come back up and they're going to lead us in a time of response. But you bow. And while you bow right there at your seat, I want you to just take a minute to take stock of your words.